This is Elizabeth Anderson of the 10th Voice. I'm at the Golden Crown Literary Society in Chicago, and I'm here with R.J. Samuel, and we're going to talk about her new book. And would you tell us the title and the publication date?
The title is An Outsider Inside, and it was published just a few days ago, July 5th, 2017.
So this is a very timely interview. I'd like to ask you a little bit of background, where you grew up, and where you live now.
I was born to Indian parents from Kerala in the south of India, and they were teachers in Nigeria. So I was born in the south of Nigeria, and I actually went to boarding school in India in the tea plantations in the Nilgiri Hills in a British military boarding school. So we used to travel as little kids, as unaccompanied minors, from Nigeria to India to go to boarding school. And then I went back and we moved from the south of Nigeria to the north of Nigeria. It's about a 1,000-mile journey, and I think we made it in a station wagon at times. So we lived in the north as well. Then eventually, I think another 5 years later, we moved back to the south. And then at the age of 15, I went to med school in Nigeria. And I was there for 2 years, and the family were moving. They were moving to New York. My sister and I was 17, she was a few years older. We moved to Ireland and to continue medical school, and I finished there. She finished and went back to the States. I stayed on in Galway in Ireland, and I stayed there for about 30 years. But there was a three-year period where I was in the southwest of France, where I decided to... I have no idea why, but I decided to end up in there, and I had a bar restaurant. Went back to Ireland and then moved to the U.S. in 2014. I was about 9 different places in the 3 years, but I've now settled in a little part of Atlanta where I've got a house now.
I want to ask you what you read growing up and what you read now.
So what I remember reading was when we were in Nigeria, we used to read Enid Blyton, and there are not that many people in the States who seem to know, so it's great when you meet someone.
I have to interject here. My sons and I love Enid Blyton. She was our favorite author when they were small because she was my favorite author when I lived in England as a child. So,
well, I had a TED Talk a few years ago from Chimamanda Ngozi, and the exact words that she was saying about reading Enid Blyton when you're in Nigeria and wondering why she was talking about the weather, because the weather was never a point of conversation. It was always pretty much sunny, and if it rained, it was nice, and it was nice warm rain. But all the characters in the book used to, as she said, drink ginger beer and talk about the weather. And then I went to Ireland, and then I understood very clearly. That's actually, it was a huge part of then my conversations in Ireland about the weather. And I had always wanted to try root beer, which I found I did not like at all. But yeah, we used to read Famous Five and a whole lot. I remember reading as well. I was an avid reader at a young age, and my dad said that once we were on a train from Ernakulam in India up to Ooty, where I went to school, and he was dropping me off for the boarding school, and he said that I was on the train and I was reading, might have been Enid Blyton at the time, and my eyes were flicking so fast across. I was so intent that all the passengers were kind of looking across as to what this little kid was doing. But I remember reading a book called Far Pavilions, MMK, and I know it made a big impact on me. I remember reading the Narnia books, which I absolutely adored. There was just this thing about the wardrobe and just getting lost in it, and the snow. Funny enough, just an Aslan. I always remember that feeling with Aslan. And I loved reading, and as I grew, I read some lesbian fiction. There was a period of time in Ireland where we had to go and we ordered Naiad Press books, and I remember Karen Kalmaker and actually Diana Simmons and Claire McNabb. And then I got into a lot of technical writing, IT stuff, and I used to help people with their thesis, and I never thought I could write creatively, and then I did a creative writing class, and it was okay. I wasn't expressing myself as much as I wanted to, And then I went to France, and life happened and a lot of stress. And when I got back, I joined another writing class with Susan Miller DeMars in Galway. And she's an absolutely wonderful teacher. But I remember thinking at the time, that the first exercise I went to write, I said, I'm just going to write my truth. I'm just going to write, and I'm not going to censor myself anymore. And suddenly I was writing with a different voice. And so, I mean, all the novels kind of came from that. But after France and when I started writing, I stopped reading fiction. I could not read fiction. And the only books that I read in 3 years was Letters Never Sent by Sandra Moran, because I was going to meet her for the first time, and I was kind of scared of her. Funny enough, I had never met her, and it was the most amazing for me to meet her. I loved the book. But then I went back to my reading block. And I haven't, you know, there was a period of time in France where I was reading 10 books a week. One author that I loved was Minette Walters. She's a British, she's called the Queen of British Crime Fiction. And she has amazing books. I was reading a lot of psychological thrillers and Harlan Coben and a few others. But this was kind of unusual in that you never knew who were the good characters, who were the bad characters. There were no good or bad. They were just people. And some of them could totally end up surprising you. They were very unusual and very good.
Well, that takes us straight to your book. Because not only is there Indian Irish, but there are characters who aren't necessarily good or bad. And I believe there's a little cafe bar, such as you said you had in France. So do you want to talk about how your life informed the book? With no spoilers, of course.
It's actually quite difficult to talk about this book without spoilers, because there are some huge issues that I bring up in it that I can't really even say what the issue's about. But a lot of the whole setting in a little village in France is very much based on the village, the restaurant, the bar, and it was set by a lake, and it's a beautiful old building. But nothing really of what happened there is in the book. So it's more about the setting, the feel. Actually, there is one incident, which when you read the book, there's a story of a deer that comes to stay at the village, and that really happened.
That seemed very true to me. And at the beginning of the book, there's a scene of, well, it's brief violence, and it's not too graphic, so nobody should be afraid. But would you explain a little what that scene was and why you decided to start with it?
I think for me it's a scene at a pride march in Dublin, in Ireland. Nothing like that had ever happened to me. I know that there was a feeling of the threat of violence if you were different. And being brown in Ireland, I had one incident where, you know, most of the time it was just maybe the true meaning of the word ignorance of something, you know, where people just didn't know Indian people. Or so I had dealt with that kind of racism, but I'd never really had a situation where I felt a threat until I was walking home and, you know, through these suburbs to the rented house, all the other college students. And there were a group of guys across the road, and I saw a stone land in front of me. And it shocked me so much, because nobody had ever been outwardly, you know, violent in any way. And this was a rock hurled across the road. When I looked across at them, they just kind of giggled. And I just walked on. So I was thinking, I haven't had to. But, you know, there are many people who have had to face that kind of violence for being lesbian or for being brown. One thing about that scene is I don't actually normally swear unless I'm playing soccer. And there's a lot of, you know, there is a bit of swearing, and there is violence. But when I write kind of more visceral, and there probably should be warnings on the book for later scenes, because there are some scenes of...
I found the book so original and so beautifully written, and the characters so complex, that it didn't bother me, because it wasn't thrown in for effect or to shock people. It grew out organically from the storyline. I want to ask you, too, some of my favorite books, I have to think about the characters because they're so interwoven and they're so complex that after I put the book down, the book just stays with me. It's not, oh, that was on to the next book. And your book was like that. So I want to ask if when you were writing, did you already have all of the characters in mind? In other words, did you plot it out with a storyline and an outline? Or as you started fleshing out the characters, did more characters come to mind? Because it's beautifully organized.
Well, it's strange in a way that I started this book over 10 years ago in one of the writing classes where there was an exercise. And this character came to me during that exercise from a conversation I'd had with an ex, a story she told. It just came out in this long paragraph. That character stuck with me over the years. And I wrote four other novels, and it just kept coming back to Lana, this Indian woman. And the book started out totally differently. Although some parts of those, you know, the things I'd written all those years ago, I took them and I put them in. But the story changed so many times because I wrote four books in 2 years, and then I have not actually published anything for 3 years, and life's been happening, and so much life's been happening. You kind of want it to stop at times. But I found that the story changed, the characters changed. The only one that remained consistently through there was Lana. Through it all, and the main character then became Jaya, the Indian Irish character. I did, all the other books were thoroughly mapped out and even structurally mapped out, whereas this book kept changing, and so all these great Excel sheets of structure just went by the side. And my poor beta reader, my one constant beta reader, was so confused. She didn't know what names, but the characters kept adding. And they added and they added. And then I got interested in them. And so I followed them down. And so a lot of the characters there that I actually really went into depth with, they didn't even exist. It was Lana and David and Jaya with different names. And all these other characters started just coming up based on, you know, the different facets of Jaya in a way.
And you said in a panel today that you're almost Indian, almost Irish, almost American, and you live in the Deep South in the Atlanta area. So do you feel that when your parts are put together and you're playing soccer, do you feel that you belong? Or because I've always felt something of an outsider, do you still feel a little bit of an outsider, and does that inform your books?
The one theme I think throughout all my books is that feeling of being an outsider. But the funny for me, one of my taglines before was actually the outsider looking out, because in a lot of ways, ability to be almost a chameleon and the need to, it's almost a survival thing to blend in wherever, despite being always the odd person out. Like, I was the only Indian day student in an all-Nigerian girls' boarding school. I stood out. I fit the stereotype as well because my mom was the maths teacher and we lived on campus. And then I go to Ireland where I'm the only, for a while, the only brown person in, you know, many of the groups that I was in. So I always felt this need to not stand out and to kind of to blend in as much as possible. And a lot of the time I would forget that I wasn't, you know, because I'm inside my skin looking out, so I don't see it. And I don't see that I'm different until someone says something, and suddenly it's this little shock of, or I, you know, I walk past a mirror or something, and it's a shock of, you're different. And it was that feeling that I did want to fit in. But I found that sometimes I usually could get invited to every group. And sometimes the groups that invited me, I then felt bad for the people who were still outside. So I never really wanted to be then. All these, you know, I was searching for this reason or this way to belong. And then I'd find I don't feel comfortable because there's other people who are still on the outside. And I'm, you know, I don't want the clique forming. So this thing that you want to belong to is part of excluding other people. So I either... You know, I kind of hang on the edges of it, trying to include and then be part of it and skipping in and out, you know. But it is a huge longing. But when you get to that point, it's like, I'm not sure what I'm longing for.
I'm older and I have found I love to learn. Being around people who are different from me is so exciting for me because I'm constantly learning. and then I feel a connection, you know, so the other becomes, you know, familiar. And I wish more people would do that these days. But I want to ask you about your cover, because it's not a traditional romance cover, let's say. I love it. So would you talk about your cover and how it came about?
It's actually designed by the amazing Anne McMahon of Treehouse Studios. And I had actually designed all my covers before that. And one of my covers, A Place Somewhere, came up, was also nominated for the T. Corinne cover design last year. And it came up against all of Anne's covers, and it lost out to Anne. I admire Anne so much, so I was thinking, you know what? If you cannot beat them, join them. So, or hire them. So I decided for this one, there was so much involved with the writing of this one. It was really tight and a really tough time as well. And I said, I just don't want another thing to take up my energy. The cover wasn't happening for me. So Anne just called me up. She talked to me about the book. I think we talked for about an hour and a half. And then a few days later, this email arrives and I went, oh, wow. You know, it was, now there's some details in it that we then ironed out, like, the, you know, smaller details that I really, things I wanted to get across about the cultural part of it. And I thought she did an absolutely amazing job. And everyone is noticing the cover. And that's fantastic.
I do want to find out how readers can contact you, ask you if you have any final thoughts, and thank you so much for the interview. So how can someone find you?
I'm on Facebook a lot. I think it's RJ Samuel Author. My website is rjsamuel.com. And so all the contact details are on that as well. I was going to say, I'm on Twitter. I am just not great on Twitter. I was like, you know, pick one and be okay at it. I think all my contact details are usually on the back of the book. I was going to say, I didn't get a chance to say it at the panel today, but I came down, I was dressed in the Indian gear, and I was going to talk about identity and differences in a way. And I came down, I walked out the elevator, turned the corner, and I bumped into, there was a woman walking towards me and didn't even say hi or anything. It just literally, she held up the book. And I was like, oh my gosh. So she holds up an outsider inside, and she looks at me and she says, I hate the mother. I hate the mother. I just started laughing. I was like, okay. And she said, God, what is she doing? And then she says, she's just like my mother. Going to the elevator, we go back. Actually, we're walking up to the lobby again, and she's telling me basically that she's so like her mother. And I'm thinking, this is an Irish-American woman who's gone back to Ireland, who's had a brown baby, and, you know, has had a life down there. But there are universal themes in everything we do. We have our differences, but we connect through something.
That's a perfect ending, because you and I connected at the last convention. And I would just encourage listeners to find those connections. In these times, that's a good thing. And I'd like you to say the name of your book again, and thank you so much.
The book is An Outsider Inside.
And we'll be right back.